Mr. Griffiths, reel 3.
Just saying about how you'd go out on these crowd control things.
Yeah.
What would you do? What did this involve?
Well, they were rioting over, like, what they called their independence. And we used to get called out and disperse them. Case of rioting and fighting amongst themselves. And we had to shoot over their heads and just keep them quiet.
Where was this?
This was down in Cornwall.
Can you remember the year?
Cornwall was, 1940. That was quite continual, like, you know. And that was the most of it. We were firing over their heads, and if they wouldn't keep quiet, well, you just have to kill them, like.
Were any of them killed?
I don't remember.
Did you shoot into the crowd, or did you just fire over their head?
Over their head. I remember doing a guard, what we call the harness and saddlery guard, which meant it was a big factory, you know. And he was on the beat. And this one wog, like, I told him twice to keep my side. And where I was, there was a vault of all, like, the millions of rupees were under there. And he kept keeping going around my side all the time. So I just plotted him with a bayonet, and I nicked him, and he went like hell.
Was he bleeding?
Yeah.
How far in did it go?
Oh, just in his behind there, so. He went screaming after, like, you know. I think he tried to cause a riot, like. But I had warned him 3 times. That was a warning 3 times. And if he didn't stop on the third, well, you had orders to shoot.
Coming back to these Cawnpore riots, were the people who were rioting demonstrating against the British?
Oh, they were demonstrating against the British in India.
I see. They weren't fighting amongst themselves.
That's what you were getting at, didn't you? They were fighting amongst themselves and demonstrating about the British troops in India.
And what was the attitude of the people? Were they angry?
Oh, frenzy. They were maniacs.
Were they just shouting, or were they throwing stones?
Shouting the chant, you know. Chanting and chanting.
Could you understand what they were chanting?
Al-Jowl, you know, that's get out from... That means go, like. And we were very fortunately, when we were in Wheeler Barracks in Cawnpore, to see the Indian Mutiny riots. I think it was in the 18th century, I think. And there was a monument of the Indian Mutiny there in Wheeler Barracks in Cornwall.
And coming back to these riots, were they throwing stones at you? Or
well,
they
were just shouting.
And so, were there any injuries, or was it just a case of
keeping them under order and keeping them under control?
And what about looting? Was there any looting going on?
Oh, very, very much, yeah.
You saw the shops being looted, did
yeah.
you?
Yeah, some shops looted.
And why do you think that the police couldn't do this? Why do you think that the British troops were doing it?
Well, because the police were very, very short. The Indian police were short, aren't they? And for all you know, perhaps one of the Indian police were with them. Of course, we couldn't detect that, like, but this is only my view of it.
What were your instructions as soldiers?
Keep yourself to yourself.
While these riots were going on.
Keep yourself to yourself and don't cause no riots yourself outside. if you've seen any fights or anything like that with the natives, keep out of it. To mind your own business.
Were you allowed to retaliate if against all the shouting, or were you just told to stand still and endure it?
Oh, we could retaliate them days.
How could you retaliate?
No, I could let him have one.
What with?
With a fist.
This was whilst you were going around, yeah. About mm-hmm. in ones and twos, was
yeah.
it? Did you have any joint training exercises with the RAF?
Yes, but only about two planes. And they used to come over and drop like a bag, and it's supposed to be a bomb, like, you know? And we used to all get dispersed then, like, you know? And fire back, like. Because we were told that at the time of them those days that aircraft was the worst, small arms was the worst enemy of the aircraft. They were afraid of small arms fire.
Do you think it was true?
I think it is true. Yes, I think it's today anyway. Because after all, it's the pilot you're aiming at, isn't it?
So you were told to aim at the pilot.
Yeah.
Not at any particular part of the plane.
Well, it means up to you. You could do anything, but myself, if I could see the pilot or something like that, I'd have a pop at him, like.
And did you have any exercises with planes where they were helping you with communications or anything of that kind?
Yes. We were in contact with the Gurkhas. Fighting against the Gurkhas. A stunt with the Gurkhas. And that was up in the hill station in Atlantic Wardle. And we were very often, perhaps if we were taken prisoner by the Gurkhas, we'd have everything we wanted. They'd give us everything.
Chapatis.
Kind of, and they like the... they used to have bags of rum. Plenty of rum.
Bags?
When I say bags, I mean plenty.
Oh, I see.
And they'd have their water bottles full of rum. And we used to give them a drop of water for some of their rum. And may I say about the Gurkhas? Could I say something about
yes,
the Gurkhas?
Certainly.
I think they're the finest troops in the world.
Why is that?
Well, they're fearless. And apparently they were the only black man allowed in our canteen.
And did they go in?
Yeah. And I've heard a Gurkha singing the national anthem in Welsh. That was up in Landy Quartal. Excellent, I thought.
And did the British and Gurkhas get on well with
outstanding. And it's a shame, I think, that the Gurkhas ought to be disbanded. I really do think it's degrading, I think. Because they always called us Tommy, like, and they were Johnny to us.
Could you speak to them in English? Could they speak
English?
Yeah,
they speak good English. Yeah.
What type of things did you talk about with each other?
Soldiering, you know. Gurkha and the British Tommy, finest soldiers in the world. Of course, as you know, they are commanded by a white officer, and that officer is their god. If anything happened to that officer, well, something would have to go.
So when you were on these manoeuvres, on these practices with the Gurkhas, the aircraft were involved as well, were they?
Yeah, but one or two, you know, like a Gloucester Gladiator or something, a little small plane they were.
What were they, spotter planes?
Spotter planes and things like that, I don't know.
How did they get their messages to the ground?
They were dropping it by in bags, you know? I wouldn't say a bag, but something heavy, and it wouldn't come through on the intercom or anything like that, eh?
Did they drop it by parachute?
And you'd, no, well, I think it was like a bit of, it'd come low, you know, and just drop it. And they drop a yellow, they put a yellow marking down, you know? And they drop it on there, like, you know?
A yellow marking? What kind of marking?
Yeah, a marking as the pilot could see, like.
What was the marking made out of?
Cloth, I should imagine, or something like that.
Oh, I see, a piece of yellow cloth,
yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
That they had to drop the message on.
Yeah.
What about other Indian soldiers apart from the Gurkhas? Did you come across them very much?
Yeah, Sikhs, Rajputana rifles. They were pretty good soldiers. My view, they were good soldiers.
In what way were they good?
Well, they copied more or less off the British. The British put them on the road to being soldiers, as like soldiers, doing the same drill.
Well, did you meet them at all? I mean, when could you meet them?
Well, perhaps they'd be on the same route march as us, you know? On the same route march and fighting against them, like.
Could you speak to them?
Yeah.
They could speak English,
yeah,
could they?
Yeah, but quite a few. Well, I mean, the Anglo-Indian and them, they're very broken English, aren't they, you know? They're like Peter Sellers or something like that.
Did you meet them socially? Did you have a drink?
No.
What about sport? Did you play sport against them?
Yes. And one thing about them, they'd never wear football boots. Bare feet.
Were they any good?
Very good. I remember an instance where I was playing for the A Company, our battalion, down in Green Park in Cawnpore. That's where the test cricket is played at the present day when they go there. And we were down there one day and we could see that they were getting a bit vicious. So we just had to wade into them and get back in our trucks and back to barracks right away.
How do you mean they were getting a bit vicious?
Well, because they were losing.
So, you just abandoned the match, did you?
Well, no, after the match, we just went into the trucks and away home. It's fun, really, in a way, I think. You know, that didn't occur always. You know, and you'd see the natives on the side backing, betting, like, why back your egg pice, dough pice, on the southwest borders, or the Rajputana rifles, or... Oh, we used to play sport with the natives.
Was there a lot of rivalry or conflict between the British soldier and the Indian soldier, or did they get on well with each other?
I fancy they got on well with each other.
So there was no.
Never seen myself. I mean, it's no good me saying a lie because that's not a bit of good at all. I never seen it. You know, you might get old blokes saying, get away, you black bastard, or something like that, you know.
To a soldier?
Jowl, you black bastard.
What would the
He'd
soldier
give him a dirty look.
Wouldn't he say anything back?
No.
What did you call the Indian soldier? Did you call them sepoys or what?
There were sepoys there, and well, we call them different names altogether. Like, you know, it's anything but a soldier. I think we were in ourselves. I think we were either superior to him, or trying to be superior to him.
Did you try to be superior to the Indian soldier in soldiering?
Yeah, definitely.
And in smartness?
Yes, and I think we were. Well, we definitely were.
So there was a kind of rivalry to see who could be the best soldier?
The only thing I'll say is this. For smartness and doing a guard mountain, and I'll still say it today, in my soldiering life in India, the Gurkha could take them all.
Better than the British soldier?
I think so. and I'd submit in defeat.
What about campaigns? Were you in any campaigns or any shoot-ups in India, apart from that Kanpur riot thing?
No, I wasn't, because I joined the battalion in Nandikoto, and our fellas came down from, our battalion came down from Waziristan and Rawalpindi and all them places up there.
Can we talk about the barracks life?
Yeah.
What were the barrack rooms like? Were they the same as the barracks in Britain?
Oh, no, vast difference. Vast difference, the barrack rooms in Britain.
In what way?
They were obviously they were air-cool, like the fans and... But you're talking about barrack life or the rooms?
The barrack rooms.
Well, some the barracks we were up in the hill station up in Llandicoto, they were stone bungalows, you know, stone barracks, eh? But the square was different, you know.
How was
it? Didn't have a square like anything. The square we had in Llandicoto was, it wasn't tarmac or anything like that, or it was just rough water, like, you know, rough piece of land, like.
And what about the fans? Were they electric fans?
Some electric fans. In some barrack rooms you had electric fans, in other barrack rooms you had punkers.
Were the barracks bigger or smaller than in Britain?
Oh, they were bigger. Yeah. I think the reason of it being bigger, and because of the doors, like, you know, would be open all the time because of the air, like. And of course, a native would never dare enter our barrack room without taking his shoes off. I think the reason of that was because of, I think the Queen had to take her shoes off. This is going back in history. She had to take her shoes off when she was going to the Taj Mahal. We would never let a native in with the shoes on.
Did you use your shoes in the barracks?
Oh, we used to, yeah. Not our ammunition boots. When we'd finished training, we'd have what we call choppies. I suppose if you want to wear choppies, huh?
What does it mean?
Well, like sandals, you know.
Choppies?
Choppies, we call them.
Were they army issue, or did
you buy them? You buy them.
Were the toilets part of the barrack rooms, or were they further away?
Oh, further away. Further away, yes. You had what you call the beastie waller. He was in charge of the water, like, you know, and the sanitation. You had bearers for them, like, you know, as you turn them wogs. They were doing all that work, like, you know, and... apparently, one time I was in charge of the sanitation, but I had these wogs under me, like, you know. It was very clean, you know, it had to be very clean because of infection.
What type of duties did you have to do with those sanitation squads?
To see that they were all, these big pans were emptied, like, you know. And it was a kind of a liquid they used to put in the bottom of it, you know. And to see it is all clean every day, cleaned about 3 or 4 times a day.
So you're using disinfectant and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that? And what about the place where you ate? Did you eat in the barracks or did you eat in a separate place?
We ate in the dining room. What we call the mess hall, isn't it?
And what was the food like?
Well, I think the food was good, but the cooks were a bit out of order. Sometimes we had good cooks and we had bad ones.
Was it English-style food or Indian-style food?
Oh, English-style food. And we could go to the, what we call, a place in Kanpur, Lord Roberts. Named after Lord Roberts, I think. And we could go in there and... have a good meal for four annas.
Was it a restaurant?
Like a navi, you know. Army navi, you know.
Uh-huh.
Run by natives. But we could go in there and have a good undercut and steak, chicken. For four annas, that's 4 pence. Not 4 pence in my now, but 4 pence in the old money.
So this was an army-run place,
mm-hmm.
apart from your ordinary mess hall.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it in the cantonment?
No, no. It is beyond the over across the road from the barracks.
So, but that you mean that the soldiers would have the ordinary meals in the mess?
Oh, yes, they wouldn't miss any of those. Yeah, I mean, the point of what I'm trying to tell you now is this. Say we were going over Lord Drobbus's night, there was a billiard table there, you know, and we'd go and have a game of billiards there, like, and we'd perhaps have a meal outside our own meals in the barracks, like.
In addition.
Yeah.
So it was called Lord Roberts' Hall.
Lord Roberts' Canteen. Yeah.
And could you buy a drink there as well?
Yeah, it was good. Well, what we used to do if we weren't going out, in our own area, in the barracks, we had what you call a wet canteen. And we'd buy a sack of bottles, you know. On the sack off the ice, they used to come then, like. And we used to get them there. And we used to drink. And we'd have a pile of nuts on the table and drink ourselves stupid, perhaps. Instead of going out to the town, like.
Was it just beer you drank, or did you drink anything else?
Oh, beer in the canteen. Beer.
Did they serve anything else except beer, like spirits?
Not in the canteen. No, we didn't have it anyway. The officers' mess had it.
Were spirits banned for the ordinary soldiers?
No.
Was there a lot of drunkenness?
Oh, yeah, certainly there was. But we was all great friends. We never quarrelled amongst each other. We were saying how great soldiering was. And we'd be fit for parade next morning.
Could you be put on a charge for drunkenness?
Oh, yes, if it was abusive. Oh, yes.
Were you ever put on a charge?
No, not for drunkenness.
Were you ever put on a charge?
Yes, I was.
What was that for?
Well, I was, I went out, and I went out down to, the Bristol, what we call the Bristol Cafe in Cornpore. And I had a few drinks. I wasn't drunk by any means. I thought, oh, well, I'll go into the regimental brothel now. And I got in there, and this policeman, the sergeant, he was hated by everybody in the battalion. Taxi Ford, his name was.
And Taxi?
Taxi. Because, I mean, that's, you know, you get nicknames in the army. He was, like Ford works, they name him Taxi. He was a real bastard, put it that way. And I was in there. And I wanted to go with this piece. And I always remember a name, June, her name was. I wish she had a name, June, I don't know, being Anglo-Indian. He said, Griffiths, he said, come on. He said, back to barracks, he said, you're in your after hours, he said. You know, after time. I said, I want to go in with this piece first. I said, I want my sex, I said, and I'll go home, I said. And I was frog-marched out from the brothel. And then I was put into the regimental jail. So the next morning, I had to go and see my company commander. Oh, well, Griffiths, he said, Captain Price, his name, he was a fine chap. Although I speak of him now, he was a great fella. By the way, he was born in India, Captain Price. He said, oh, I'm surprised at you above all, he said. Well, I said, I was only there for my sex, I said, and he got out of me and another two policemen. I said, he got out of me and woofed me in the wagon and put me in the jail. Well, I got in front of him and he said, I'm very, very surprised at you, he said. There's only one thing I can do. I'll accept my punishment. Well, I thought it'd be about 7 days CB. I said, yes, sir, I'll have to accept your punishment, I said. I'll accept it as a man. Well, he said, I'm afraid I'll have to remind you for COs, he said. So I said, God, God, COs?
What does it mean?
Commanding officer. Colonel in charge of the regiment. So I goes to the colonel in charge of the regiment, Windsor, Major Windsor. And by the way, he was in the Royal Flying Corps before he joined the South West Borders in the last 1914-18 war. So the Provost Sergeant read the charge out, what I supposed to have done and what I didn't do. He added a bit on as well, like, you know. Oh, he said, what have you got to say for yourself? And I told him what I thought.
Did you say that he'd added something on?
Pardon?
Did you say that he'd added something on?
Yes. I said, I wasn't abusive, I said. I wasn't abusive at all. I had drink, I said, but I wasn't abusive. I went to the regimental brothel, I said, and I was there after hours. That means after time. So I goes in and he said, oh, well, he said. So the sergeant gave his say, and I had my say. Will you accept my punishment? I said, yes, sir. 27 days detention in Lucknow Barracks, he said. March him out. I thought, good God, where am I going? And believe me, when you go in Lucknow Detention Barracks, you won't go there, you won't go there a second time. Because they put you through everything right on the double. You go to the toilet on the double, everything on the double. You have a bath on the double. I don't know if you've seen that picture, the hill, a wall picture called The Hill, where we was having sandbags and we was going up and come back down, go back up, go up, come back down, go back up, all on the devil. Till you felt like saying, well, you were a real bastard, you know. And it really took it out of you. And you would have, in the morning then, you would have your food on the on the devil. You would have a tin in the corner to urinate in, whatever you wanted to do. You'd have to empty that on the devil. And I said to myself, when I get out of here, I'd never come back in here, whatever happens. So the day I was coming out, I said to the corporal, I'm due out today, corporal. Shut up, he said. You haven't finished your time yet. There's another 2 hours to go. So I shut my mouth. And then the CO called me up. He said, well, he said, we're releasing you today, you know. He said, you'd done your time. And I don't want to see you back yet again. I said, you won't, sir. How would you know, he said. There might be a second time. I said, not if I can help it, sir.